It'll go right with the message. Sunday morning, God's given me one of the most powerful messages I've ever just read right off the cuff. So if you have people, Sunday would be a good day to show up to church. Amen? I'd preach it tonight, but I ain't got liberty to preach tonight. So take your Bibles, go to James chapter 2. I'm going to read this a little bit out of the hymnal because it's kind of the title of the message. It's called Trust and Obey. Amen? James chapter 2, and I'm going to read just one verse out of the hymnal, out of 157. It says, Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust, you might want to make a note right here, trust Jesus for your salvation. Obey Jesus in your everyday walk. Amen? That's what the whole message is for tonight out of the book of James, is trust. We're trusting Jesus for our salvation, and through that trust, we're going to obey Him. Amen? And through that obedience, people will see that we have trusted Jesus in our salvation. Amen? Golly, tonight's been a good night already. The testimonies are powerful. I wanted y'all to just continue in that. But tonight is there's some real meat in this message. The next Sunday night, tonight, and tomorrow, and Sunday night coming up, this will be in the book of James. I know for at least two more messages. You might not shout, you might not run, you might not have goosebumps, we might not feel the Holy Ghost in here. But if you will apply this, these next couple of messages and the one Sunday night, you will be a more mature Christian and a better believer. Amen? And I'll be honest with you, I'd rather do that than shout. I would. I'd rather be a better believer outside these four walls than to have the greatest time inside of here and nobody out there ever see it. And I know too many Christians, I know too many believers and too many churches that they'll run flags, they'll fall out in the spirit, they'll do all this other stuff, but then they live like the world when they get out of here. Amen? I don't want to do that. I want to get out there and be effective in that world. Amen? Let me give y'all a little bit first. Look at James chapter 2, verse 9, and then we're going to jump all the way down to 14. We're not doing a line-by-line study or a in-depth study of the book of James, but let me help you right here with these first 14 chapters of James chapter 2. It says, "But if ye have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law and a transgressor." You're convicted of the law and a transgressor. Are you okay? I don't want to get into all that tonight, but what that means, and I don't really feel God pressing me into this message tonight about that first part of chapter 2, is we have respect to persons. Please listen, when people come to our church, I don't care if you're a member or not a member, I don't care who you are or what you have or who you're not and what you do not have. You are welcome here. Welcome from the front row to the back row, from the back row to the front row. We don't have any, oh man, you're more important because. Amen? God says if you look on the outside of a person and they come in and man, they got everything, and you say, man, we'd love to have this guy or this gal, you sit right here, we're going to make you an honored guest. And then somebody else comes in here and they smell pretty hard and look pretty rough, and we say, man, I don't know how you end up getting here. You mind sitting back over here next to the closet? Right? As Christians, you don't do that. As Christians, because you never, I said I wasn't going to preach this, but man, that's almost too much. Listen, you will never know what the person God is going to use looks like. I'll just leave it. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. Have you ever done that, just to be honest? Picks up, that's going to be the one. God's going to use that. And then another, he said, man, I don't know if God can use that. And man, that one runs laps around the one you thought was going to be a superhero in the faith. Amen? I got so many thoughts going through my mind on that right there. We went to a little country church when we first started out. And this little boy got saved, man. He had hair down to about right here. And I mean, he'd wear almost midriff shirts. And when you first see him, you're like, whew, golly, Bob. It's funny because he'd get that hymnal and he'd walk up to the front. So, well, what is he doing? And he'd get up there and sing those hymnals. He said, I can't sing, couldn't. But man, he said, I know who this is. This is the man who saved me. And man, he was on fire for God. And I mean, it was just, you're like, every Wednesday and Sunday, you're like, man, I wonder what God's going to do with him this time. You know what I mean? Anyway. So let's jump on to 14. Y'all ready? Are y'all ready to learn something? Can you learn something? I'm going to be honest with you. If you're not teachable in the house of God, you're going to have a hard walk between here and heaven. Amen? Be willing to learn. Amen? Be willing to learn. God say, hey, God, I don't know it all. I don't know it all. If you ever get to a place where you think you know it all, man, get to the altar quick and say, God, take away that prideful spirit. I don't know nothing. God, show me everything. All right, y'all ready? Let's get in the Word. We want to change. And if somebody would tonight, go find Romans 3:28. And then somebody else, go find 2 Corinthians 5:17 and just hold that place for me. If you want to be a part of the service, I might not make you read, but I just help me out if you would. James chapter 3, verse 14, are y'all there? What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Woo! Woo, whoa, whoa, whoa. Man, ain't this a contradiction of some sort? Aren't we saved through faith and not by works? But what is James doing here? What's the half-brother of Jesus coming off with? Paul said in that verse I gave you in Romans 3:28, did anybody run over and get that real quick? Who did? Read that for me if you would. Wait a minute. That's contradicting what it says. That's what people would say, right? I'm serious. You'd think that, wouldn't you? One says, you're not going to be made right by the law. You're made right by faith. And I hate to tell you this. Go read the whole book of Romans chapter 3. That is the summation of that whole chapter. You're saved by grace through faith and not by works. Amen? So listen to what Paul said. You're saved by grace through faith, not of the law. So not of the works of the law. Make a note right there. Not by the works of the law. Amen? That's a big difference than what James is saying. James is saying we're saved and we are going to show that salvation through our works. Not the works of the law, but the works of the Holy Ghost of God in a believer. Are y'all good now? Does that make sense? Man, when you first read that, though, you're thinking, man, these guys are having a spiritual fight. And one of them's wrong. And it's not that. Listen, as a preacher of the gospel, as a minister of a gospel, as somebody who's lived since they've been saved and seen people, I think James was running into people who were professing to be a believer, but their actions was not, it was telling another story. Have you run into somebody like that? Amen? They're drinking a cold beer, cursing, lying, cheating, stealing. And you say, hey, I'd like to tell you about Jesus Christ. And they go, man, I know all about Jesus. This happened to us in Selma. We walked up on the porch. There's four guys out there drinking, doing all kinds of stuff. And we said, well, we're here from the thing. We're going to tell you about Jesus and tell you about this thing that's going on. They go, man, I know all about him. I'm like, right? But there's no evidence, right? That's not being judgmental, but there was no evidence. Okay, are y'all good? Look at this. Can faith save him? That was a question mark. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Man, this happens. but I want you to see it. Could you imagine that? Somebody sitting out in the streets on a December or January night, and it's 20 below zero, and they're sitting there shivering, ain't got a blanket or nothing, T-shirt and shorts, and you walk up, and you're in your car, and say in the back of your car, you just happen to have 3 or 4 blankets, 4 or 5 jackets, a bunch of socks, some underwear. I mean, you just cleaned out your closet, and man, your car is loaded with warmth. And all of a sudden, you stop at the red light, and you see them sitting there shivering, and they're starving, and just say you just bought you a big meal from McDonald's, a number 4 supersized with a Diet Coke, right? Because that's the way it rolls, right? Diet Coke eliminates every calorie. So you roll your window down and you say, because your heat's blaring, right? And you even have to turn it down to, instead of being on 4, you turn it down to 2. And you say, hey, what's going on with you? We're homeless, we're freezing, and we're starving. God bless you. We'll be praying for you. God's good. All the time, huh? Do you think they would say that? I think you would probably get a wave. You'll get that later. I'm not going to participate, but I'm just going to tell you. You'll probably get some choice words. Just get out of here. You know what I mean? Because your faith has been spoken of, but you have not delivered. You have given them words and words only, and guess what? You've just told them that God's good, but in your life, that's all that matters. That's all that matters is you can say God's good. Anybody can say God's good. Guess what? Every awards show on TV, everybody comes up there and they thank God. And most of the time, God has nothing to do with what you're doing. Hate to tell that to you, but if you're going to sing a song that the lyrics talk about everything that this Bible says is wrong, and all of a sudden you get up there and say, I just want to thank God for the talent. Yeah, the talent came from God and you misused it. Well, that's just old school preaching right there. Y'all almost got into a Wednesday night prayer meeting almost. Amen? Some of you are like, oh my gosh, is he preaching about bad music and movies? Yes. Yes, if you're a real Christian, when you read the script and it's got you, you say, I can't do this. Give it to somebody else. Here's the lyrics of your new song. I can't sing that. They don't glorify Christ. And if you do that, the whole world will hate you. You got one guy who kneels down and says, the country's awful, and they love him and make a shoe after him. You got another guy who kneels down and says, I love Jesus. Who do they hate? We got to get rid of this guy. He is a hate-filled, awful guy who prays to God and loves his country and loves people. Bad guy, get him out of the league. Another guy, we got to put him on the picture of magazines, name a shoe after him, and guess if Betsy Ross comes out with a shoe, that's got to be done away with. Yeah, I preached on that stuff on a Wednesday night. Write it down, and guess what? I'll probably say it again. It's not politically correct, but it is correct. Can his face save me? If a brother or sister, we read that, and one of you say unto them, depart. Verse 17, even so faith, if hath not works, is dead being alone. Whoa. Dead faith. If you don't have works, you're dead faith. You might be a believer. You might know who Jesus is. But guess what? Your faith looks dead. You look like a corpse. You're not doing what God's called you to do. You're not operating. There's a spirit. If God, one part of the Godhead, has moved in, guess what? He wants to do stuff. Matter, let's say it this way. He wants to do God stuff. Somebody give me that other verse. Second Corinthians 5:17. Somebody give it to me, please. Yeah. Yes. And one part of there says, behold, all things have become new. Is that not true? What do you got to do to behold something? Look at it, not say it. Amen? If you be a new creature in Christ, behold. That means, look, if I'm a new creature in Christ, if you're a new creature in Christ, you don't have to tell everybody. All you have to do is say, look. Why would you tell them to look? Because there's going to be some different activities going on. Amen? That's how people would identify you, by the fruits that you bear. Wow. And if you don't have any fruits and you're not bearing any work, how would they know that you're a believer? You just got to tell them. Just got to tell them. You just got to tell them. I don't want to just tell them. I want somebody to call us Christians because they see Christ at work in our lives. Do you know Chris? They called them Christians at Antioch first. I love that verse in the book of Acts. They called them Christians at Antioch first. They called them. What's different than that? They did not call themselves. They called them. You know what the literal translation of that is? They called them little Christs. Amen? Look, they killed him on that cross and buried him, and they say some of him's resurrected, but they're all running around here acting like little Christs. What, man, would that be terrible for you to be called? Who do you think you are, some little Christ? Well, I know I'm not Christ, but I like the mistaken identity. Amen? I like the mistaken identity. Yes. Verse 18, yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith with thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. It's not the path, amen, but it is the product. It is not the path, but it is the proof. You understand what I'm saying? Your works are not the path that gets you to salvation, but they are some proofs that you did get saved. I didn't get saved by something I did, but I do the things that I do because I did get saved. Amen. That's amazing stuff. That's good stuff. He says right here, yea, a man say thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my work. Listen, and I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Because I hate to tell you this, God will work differently through each person in here. Now, some of y'all might have some agreement. Some of y'all might have some characteristics. Y'all get together and do a ministry, and that would show itself together. But sometimes God, have you ever had God whisper, put something in your heart that nobody else wants? Or nobody else sees? Let's not say wants. Let's say nobody else sees it. Oh, gosh. I remember times when God say, you're going to go and you're going to preach and you're going to do this, this, this. And I mean, I was sitting in a church pew going, what are you talking about? I remember I went to the First Baptist one time for a VBS thing, and I sat in this huge sanctuary. I'm talking about this beautiful, big, white sanctuary. And I'm sitting there like this. Why is this something else? God in my spirit said, you're going to preach in bigger places than this. And I didn't, well, that wasn't the thing. The thing was, I wasn't preaching yet. I didn't care about the building or the pit. I was like, but one thing you left out. When do we start doing that? Right? I knew it was in me. I just didn't know we was getting there. Amen? I told people stuff. We're going to be going and sharing the gospel with lots of people. They go, huh? What do you do right now? I work at Shaw. I work in the supply room at Shaw. Well, how's that going to work out? I don't know. Man, but it sure did. Amen? Yeah, but it sure did. Yeah, it's worked out pretty good. Verse 19. This is good. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for a good one? Y'all make this one of them verses you go to. I love this verse. Thou believest that there is one God? Ooh, yes. What's the back part of this verse? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Whoa. I think James has ran into some of the same people I've been running into. Amen? They live like the world, don't go to church, talk crazy, walk crazy, listen crazy, do crazy, and you try to talk to them about God, and it's like, nah, I mean, God, I got things right with the man upstairs. You know. How'd you get things right with the man upstairs a long time ago? There's nothing right about you. I just believe, man, me and him and old JC, we got it worked out. I'm serious. I get this a lot, and I'm sitting there going, man, you better know. And where has the change? Where's the change? He knows how. He knows me. I know what, you know. And you're sitting there going, listen, man, listen. The devils know there's a God. The devils know there's a God. And the difference in them and you is they tremble. You say there's a God, but you don't have any fear. And man, your time's running out. The sands of the hourglass are running through they're running through there. And it's like when you talk to them about God, it's like, man, something they have no. Man, and I've had people, when I get down to the end of my life, man, I have been to the hospital too many times now. I've been down there too many times. You might not get that shot. You might not get that shot. I mean, there's people going out so quick. Well, I know there's a God. And God's very vague. Amen? God's very vague. When you're talking to somebody about God, also add the name. And you know who we're talking about, right? Jesus. Because when you throw that name in there, then we find out who we're talking about. Because when you say Jesus, then all of a sudden, you're either offending people or people are joining with you. Yes, gee, I love Jesus. Or, no, now listen. You're closed-minded, narrow-minded, and you're trying to tell people there's only one way. Yeah, I am. I'm just glad there is a way. Hey, man, I ain't worried about there's just one. I'm just glad there is. Amen. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness and he was called a friend, the friend of God. Whew. Y'all remember that story? That I'm going to be honest with you, that would have been one of them check calls from me. Sometimes I'd have been a check call. God said, hey, won't you take Isaac up on the mountain and slaughter him? Let's make it personal. Hey, Kevin, take Peyton up on the mountain, a flat top, and offer him as a sacrifice. Man, I love you, God. You're awesome, God. Worthy of praise and honor and glory. Hallelujah. But tomorrow, I'm just going to get up and I'm going to go about my regular business. And I'm going to hope that you are kidding. Amen? Because that's something that'd be hard to do. Amen? Because I don't know if you read in the lines of the Bible like I do in between the lines. He got up early. He cut the wood. Stacked the wood. Packed the donkeys. Kissed his wife goodbye. Said, we're going, see ya. Didn't make any waste of time. Rode down, got off the donkeys, told the servants, you stay here, me and the lad go yonder to worship, and we will return. Man, we will return. And they started climbing that mountain. And Isaac, man, he's not a young kid. He's not 7. He's not 8. He's not 9. He's somewhere between 17 and 20 years old. And he's carrying this big logs on his back. Does it look like anybody to you? Hey, Dad, I was just thinking. Where's the sacrifice? Don't worry, son. God will provide himself a sacrifice. Keep walking, keep believing, keep trusting. God didn't set out to kill us. He loves us. We'll just do what he tells us to do until he tells us something else to do. He takes him up there, sets the wood on fire, lays his son on the altar, ties him down. Notice Isaac is laying there in obedience because his dad's in obedience. And it takes an angel from heaven to say, Abraham, Abraham, stop. God has provided you a ram in the bushes, caught by the horns. Why was he caught by the horns? Not without spot or without blemish. I'd love to keep preaching to you about that. Because guess what? While they were walking up one side, that means there was a ram climbing the other side. When you, my God, if you'll listen to what I'm saying, when you're climbing your mountain, God is climbing the other side with you. He will meet you at the top. And when you think you've reached the moment where you can't go any further, God will say, I'll go for you. You don't have to go any further because I have already gone there. I've walked through that valley of the shadow of death for you. I came, I became the ram in the bush for Abraham. And I became the ram for you. I am your sacrifice. I am the Holy One. Be obedient. Be obedient. That means you're saved. Now listen to God. Whatever he might say, however hard it might be, when you're sitting there going, God, how will this work out? It doesn't matter how it works out. If God said to go, you go. If God says to do, you do. You trust God more than you trust any physical thing in your life. And at the end of this life, he will say, enter in my good and faithful servant. Enter in my friend. My friend. Abraham was a friend of God. Why? Because he could trust him with everything. He said, you gave me the miracle. You can take the miracle away or whatever you want to do. I'm in love with you, not the stuff. I'm in love with you, not the life. I'm in love with you, not the pulpit. I'm in love with you, not the possessions. I'm in love with you. And all God would scream back down through eternity is, I'm in love with you first. You ever gotten that little deal with your significant other? I love you more. I love you more. No, 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 no. I love you more. God says, I loved you first. I loved you first. And I'll keep loving you. Amen? Let's all stand. Say, come get a song. Come get a song. I don't care if it's Amazing Grace or Jesus, Jesus, Jesus or whatever you want to play. Just play something. If God spoke to your heart, there's a place on the altar. Come speak.